بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The following hadith in our series of Umdatul Ahkam, and as you know, the book is about 422 hadiths. So we are going and following the sections of fiqh, the sections of jurisprudence, where we learn the rulings of our daily lives and things that related to our livelihood, which is halal and which is haram. So hadith number 268, who would like to read it for us? Yes, brother.
Ibn Umar, Allah be pleased with him, reported Allah's Messenger as saying, "He who buys food grain should not sell it until he has measured it by sa'a or weight." In another narration, "until he has taken possession of it." A similar narration was also reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala.
Okay, the hadith basically talks about the concept of ownership of foodstuff. And it's an issue of dispute whether this goes and cascades to anything you own or not. The Prophet is saying, alayhi salatu wasalam, whenever you buy food, and by food we mean something that is measured. And measuring things can be done either by measurement of size, as in the hadith, sa', or measurement of weight, as in kilograms or pounds, etc., or measurements of height or length, a foot, 5 feet, etc. So these are all types of measurements. Now, usually people go to the market and find a pile of dates, a pile of corn, a pile of rice, and they would buy it and sell it on the spot. The Prophet says that this is not permissible, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Now imagine yourself to be the seller and I'm the buyer. And you have 100 kilograms of rice. And I come to you and I say, "How much is this?" And you say, "A kilo for $1. So the total is $100 worth. And I say, "I'll buy it. Here's the money." And I give you the money. So I give him the $100, and the food is supposed to be what? It's mine. Now on the spot, he still has the rice. Someone comes to me and says, "This rice is good." I said, "I'll sell it to you for $150. He said, "Okay, I'll take it." If I say to that man, "I'll sell it to you for $150, how would you feel? After agreeing to sell it to this brother for $150, you would not feel very happy about it. And you would feel that, "Oh, I was cheated. $100 is very cheap." Not only that, we have an issue of who guarantees, who takes the blame. What does that mean? If I sell you something and it is still in the period of choice, which we spoke about, khiyar al-majlis, and I still have it, I sold it to you, but I still have it, and you did not take it from me. And all of a sudden, lightning comes and the thing is destroyed. Who takes the responsibility? The buyer who did not receive it, or the seller who did not handle it? We have to look into the case itself. If the seller, he himself was delaying it to give it to the new owner because I want to use it for a day or two, and it is destroyed or harmed, it is my responsibility. Though I took the money, but it's still my responsibility. If the buyer said, "Okay, I bought it, keep it in your stores, khalas, it's mine, but I need a day or two to prepare some place to put it, and I'm willing," I said, "No, take it now." He said, no, you keep it for 2 days." Then it is the buyer's responsibility. That is why when you buy something, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, do not sell it until you own it. So now the responsibility falls on you. before the responsibility falls on you when selling it, then I have no means of taking the risk. And risk is an essential thing in making transaction halal or haram. How is that? I'll give you an example. If you come to me and say, I need to buy a watch of this maker, of so-and-so maker. It's found in that shop. And I say, okay, how much is sold in that shop? You say $1,000. I said, okay, I will buy it, but I will sell it to you for $1,200. Do you agree? He said, yes, I agree. Khalas, sign the contract. Put a down payment or not, no problem. But preferably put a down payment. I go and buy the watch, and I give it to the person. My money is in my pocket. I've guaranteed this. Now, if anything happens to the watch in the process, I don't lose anything because he had already bought it before I delivered it. And this is haram. When does it become halal? When he says, I'd like to buy the watch, I tell him, I'll sell it to you, but come tomorrow. And I go and buy the watch and bring it here. I paid for it cash. He comes tomorrow and I say, this is the watch. I'll sell it for you for $1,200. He said, I changed my mind. I said, how do you change your mind? I paid $1,000 for it. He said, I changed my mind. No obligation. And he leaves. Who's stuck? I'm stuck. Now, I try to sell it. $1,000, $1,000, nobody's buying it. $990, $950, $900, he will buy it. I lost $100. So there is the risk. This is when transaction becomes halal. Because there is a risk. I am guaranteeing the money. If anything happens to it, the product is mine. Unlike riba, when you buy and sell money, there is no loss on you. There is no risk on you. And we will come to discuss this later on, inshallah. Now, is it permissible to sell a pile of rice without measuring it? The Prophet says, no, alayhi salatu wasalam. You have to also measure it. You have to apply your own means of measurement, whether kilogram or size, so that you do not buy just a pile. You buy something that is specific, that is quantified. Because sometimes you see a pile and you think that it's about 100 kg. And you buy it. And when you go home, it's 40 kg. Ah, what is this? You have to quantify it. You have to measure it, as mentioned in previous hadith. Now, again, the hadith is talking about foodstuff, about grain usually, about wheat. But does it cascade on everything, such as animals, such as cars, things that can be transported, or such as properties? Buying a building, buying a villa, buying a flat. Can I sell it before actually possessing it or not? Scholars differ. Some of them say this only applies to removable things, such as food, etc., that I can remove from one place to the other. And the most authentic opinion is that no, it applies in everything you buy. So I'm talking to you, Akhi, how much you want in your flat? You say 200,000. Said, khalas, I buy it. And you say, I sell it. The transaction is made. Shake hands, khalas, intaha, over. Another one calls, said, yes, about the flat you were talking about. He said, yes, I have it. How much you gonna sell it for? 300,000. And the man is still standing. What will happen? Shaitan will come to him, says, I'm not willing to sell it anymore. 50% I would lose? No, I'm not selling it. We had a deal. Deal or no deal, I'm not selling it. This would cause enmity, hatred among Muslims. So what to do? He has to deliver it. He has to give me possession of it. How? Well, if it's something that is removable, like wheat, like food, how would I possess it? Taking it. Take, this is your food. Thank you. If it's something that is heavy and on transportation, this is the whole lorry is yours. The whole truck is yours. Khalas, this is the money, give me my truck. If it's something that is not movable, like a building, or a house, how would I possess it? By him giving me the keys. خلاص, I took all of my stuff. Here is the key. The house is yours. Now I can sell it. Or by signing the deeds. You know, you go to the government and say that he sold me his property and this is the deeds and it authenticated, خلاص. It's done. So this has to be implemented. This has to be done so that everything would be clear and no hatred, no grudges would come between the Muslims. Otherwise, if you sell something without collecting it, without possessing it, there will be lots of bad feelings included. Again, this goes in foodstuff, in things that can be considered to be means of transportation, animals, cars, etc. And it also can be in real estate, in property. Now, one of the things in current Islamic transactions is known as tawarruq. Tawarruq is to buy something in installments because you need money and you cannot afford to have a loan in cash. So you go to someone and say, I'll buy your car for such and such in installments. He says, agree. You buy the car, you take it and you sell it somewhere else for lesser amount of cash. And then you utilize the cash. A lot of the banks are doing this, but in an un-Islamic fashion. How is this done? This is what we will find, inshallah, after the break. So stay tuned.